Truelove and Richards met Britton and Sarah outside the Peapods, where another converted trailer bore the Shadow Coven logo of the ghosted star behind the moon.
It was awesome.
Truelove and Richards stood in silence. Britton followed their gazes to where a huge man walked, hands thrust in his pockets, shoulders hunched. His nearly shaved head sported ginger-colored hair to rival Richards's own. His cold blue eyes took in Shadow Coven as he pushed past them, his camouflage patterned parka not matching anything Britton had ever seen before. As the man passed, Britton caught the flag sewn onto his shoulder, even as the man's magical current hit him hard enough to make him grimace. Whoever the stranger was, he was highly latent. Their eyes followed him, staring unabashedly as he moved along until he was gone from sight behind one of the concrete blast barricades.
Who was that?
Russian army, I think. At least, that was the flag sewn on his jacket.
Didn't know they had a sock.
Everybody does. Harlequin said we're not to talk to them unless authorized.
I thought you might like it.
Like what?
The training. The sass, the dampener, all of it.
Sass isn't so bad. The videos are pretty annoying, but once you get your magic down, it's actually a lot of fun. Did you meet Swift?
That guy was a piece of work.
Yeah. If the guy would let the dampener scale back his anger, he'd be set. But he just can't stop fighting. He rode me pretty hard when I went through.
The dampener is incredible. Skill really does beat will.
Yeah, it is pretty incredible.
What's incredible, Needle Dick, is your unrivaled ability to state the obvious. Perhaps if you had manifested in the magical ability to shut the hell up, you'd say less stupid stuff. Now, if you'd be so kind as to refrain from teaching our new arrival how to be a moron, maybe I won't have to break another nail administering a repeat ass-kicking to him. All right. I suppose some congratulations are in order. Not that learning a little basic control is much of an accomplishment. If you hadn't mastered the basics so quickly, I'd have been disappointed. Well, more disappointed than I already am anyhow. You all just remember one thing. You are Coven 4. Shadow Coven. The magic behind the magic. You are this Corps' secret weapon against all that is unknown and terrible in the world. When the army can't cut it, they call the sock. When the sock can't cut it, they call us. Like it or not, that's your role, and I expect you all to act like it. Almighty God must have had a particular sense of humor to have manifested such rare and precious abilities in a pack of imbeciles like you. But we will all have to simply cowboy up and go to war with the army we have. And that, folks, is exactly what we intend to do. We're gonna get started right now.
He led the coven back into the converted trailer. Inside was a simple classroom that was a near exact copy of the SAS schoolhouse, complete with whiteboard and plastic folding chairs. The coven sat while Fitzy stood in front of a board.
Among the many functions you will have as Shadow Coven, first and foremost is not to embarrass me. You have all manifested in prohibited schools, or in Richard's case, perfected a practice that has been outlawed under an amendment to the Geneva Convention. By all rights, you should be rotting in jail or strapped to a lethal injection table, and with a little work, you might still get there. However, for the time being, the President of the United States himself is giving you a free pass so long as you put your skills to work in the service of this country. What I expect from each and every one of you is to earn that amnesty and to make certain that your customers do not regret their decision to take a chance on you. I can assure you that I will take any failure to meet that standard as a personal affront and deal with you accordingly. First off, we are arranging the coven so that each of you performs roles in proportion to your manifested ability. These are as follows. Downer, you will provide force protection under the call sign Prometheus. Truelove, you will provide combat overmatch capabilities under the call sign Rictus. Richards, you will provide reserve capability as required under the call sign Whisper. Britton, you will provide logistical support under the call sign Keystone. These capabilities do not absolve you of your duties as agents of the United States Army. The primary mission of this organization is to kill people and destroy property. You will ensure that whatever the designation I have just given you, you are properly trained to put warheads on foreheads when called to do so. Is that perfectly clear?
Yes, sir.
The great thing about probe schools is that they're all pretty much force multipliers. The constitution of this particular coven, now with instantaneous transport, enables you to deliver a hammer blow whenever and wherever the sock needs it. In short, the four of you can show up in an enemy's backyard and have an army there inside of a minute. We are going to train to do just that. First things first, some ground rules. You will not use your magical abilities except in the line of duty when specifically authorized. You will not speak to or associate with the Indige unless specifically authorized. You will obey my orders as if they were the word of the Almighty himself. Also clear?
Yes, sir.
Outstanding. This is trailer B6. We will meet here every afternoon after you complete your SAS morning indoc and basic control training. By then, I expect you to have completed your timesheet and eaten a proper breakfast. Big boy rules, people. Nobody will wake you up and ensure you get anywhere on time, but I will personally kick your ass if you are even slightly tardy. Instructions will be written on this whiteboard or delivered in person. Because your abilities are unique, much of your training and some of your assignments will be performed independently. As unit cohesion is a goal, I will try to keep you together as much as humanly possible, but it won't always be.
The other soldiers in the evening chow hall avoided them, stepping out of line as the Coven approached. The few humans working the food lines slopped the food onto their trays in a hurry, thrusting them at the Coven as if trying to ward them off. A few goblins bowed to Britain as he passed, tapping their closed eyelids as Marty had done. Marty appeared among a cluster of humans and goblins from the cache, all in blue medical scrubs. He waved to the Coven, and Truelove waved back.
How's it going?
You just secure that crap, Rictus! You want to butt-fuck your fairy tale boyfriend in the privacy of your own hooch? Then I guess everyone is entitled to blow off a little steam, no matter how nasty that particular mental image may be. But God is my witness, you will not fraternize on my watch!
They ate without speaking. Fitzy munched away beside them, eyes fixed straight ahead. Back at the trailer, they were split up. Britton followed Fitzy down another track to a huge canvas tent that enclosed a bare patch of ground some 100 feet square. Foam mats lay scattered about. Ropes hung from metal brackets attached to the tent's canopy. Their breath steamed in the cold air. Fitzy strolled to the center of the tent and faced Britton.
You get the pleasure of spending more time with me than any of the other novices in the Coven, Keystone. This is because while all of the Coven form must develop hand-to-hand combat skills, your particular training plan calls for particular expertise in the Modern Army combative system, which we will now refer to as MAC. It just so happens that before I manifested, I had the pleasure of serving as a MAC instructor in the 11th Infantry. Before being assigned to lead Shadow Coven, I taught MAC to the sock. I don't think I've ever taught fewer than 10 men in a class. But you get one-on-one training, which perhaps makes you the luckiest man in this whole damned fob. The end goal will be to develop a concept coined by my predecessor, with the only other portomancer we had the pleasure to work with, Gate-Integrated MAC, or GMAC. I affectionately term this as Gate Foo, but if I ever hear you call it by that name, I will hand you your ass more than I'm about to. GMAC integrates all the MAC moves with conjured gates, used as a cutting weapon. You will also use your magic to position yourself more advantageously against your opponent.
You're going to teach me hand-to-hand combat?
For the nonce, I will forgive you for asking a question out of turn. I will even tell you that once you have learned how to integrate your gate sorcery with MAC, you will be deadlier than an entire rifle company. You'll use your gates like an extra fist. No, like a cleaver, only one that can cut through absolutely anything. You'll be able to appear in the enemy's backfield and take out 50 of him before he knows you showed up. But there's a long, long way to go before you can do that. And we have to crawl before we can walk. So, MAC first, GMAC when you're ready. Now, let's begin.
Fitzy advanced. Britton retreated, hands extended.
Sir, I've done some MAC before, but I'm not ready to...
Get up!
Britton propped himself up on his elbows, hesitating.
Learning to take a hit is the first step in being able to deliver one, novice. Now get the hell up, or I'll just pound you while you're down.
Britton jumped to his feet, and Fitzy snapped a jab at his face. Britton dodged, trying to remember what little MAC he'd had before. He didn't remember much. Britton collapsed in his own vomit.
Jesus, Keystone, that's disgusting. Now get up and let's give this another round.
MAC? Yeah, it's pretty cool. Mixed martial arts, more Brazilian jiu-jitsu than anything. Sock operators put all their eggs in that basket. In any magical school, there's little need to carry more than a sidearm. But if someone gets the drop on you, or you're off the dampener and can't get your mojo going, sometimes a good old-fashioned can of ass-whooping is called for. My boot heel on your spine is every bit as effective as a fireball in your face. Lieutenant Sunspot, call sign. SOC Liaison Officer, LNO Pyromantic Assault Team Leader, 101st Airborne Division.
Despite the drubbing Fitzy had given him, Britton was in a celebratory mood. Downer's enthusiasm was infectious. Britton's early irritation at her flip-flopping allegiance was replaced by genuine joy at seeing someone so happy. A piece of him rebelled against the comfort.
Don't get settled. You can't stay here. You have to find a way to escape. But you're not swift. You don't have to rebel for rebellion's sake. Why not stay here? What better life is waiting for you if you break free?
Hey, what about you?
What about me?
A gate, silly. Open one.
I don't think I'm supposed to. What about your precious rags?
Downer looked down at her lap and shrugged, suddenly looking very young. True Love said nothing, but his eyes lit up. Marty set his cup of sugar water down on the counter and blinked.
Okay. It only works for places I've been before. What do you want? Statue of Liberty? Grand Canyon?
Downer said nothing, cheeks still burning over Britton's rebuke.
Ever been to Mount Rushmore? I've been telling Marty about it.
I have. Not sure if this'll work. It was a long time ago.
Four stone presidents fixed stately gazes from the distant mountain. The rest of the coven just stared at it in awe. Calling the current had exacerbated his headache, still hurting from the pummeling Fitzy had given him.
You okay?
Yeah, the Mac practice is a little rough.
Marty began rooting through his leather bag.
You need a healer. Fix you right up.
Britton thought briefly of Therese, the warmth of her hand on his face. He stopped, momentarily stunned.
A physiomancer put this bomb in your chest. A physiomancer could get it out.
The next morning continued along the same lines. Britton woke himself up just in time to bolt down breakfast and make his way back to the sass. Downer had beaten him there. She stood with Therese, Swift, and the rest of the enrollees gathering outside the schoolhouse as he passed through the gate. The door to the pillbox stood open, its interior shrouded with shadow. Goblin contractors worked inside it with brooms and hoses. Britton followed the gazes of the enrollees and saw two suppressor guards following a few paces behind a woman. Her skin had the unhealthy pallor of one denied sunlight, the blue tracery of veins clearly visible. Her jet-black hair was cut in a severe bob, the points almost sharp where they passed the line of her jaw. She was thin, tall, and clad in a one-piece orange jumpsuit similar to the one Britton had worn when he was first captured. Her hands were cuffed before her. She turned a face dominated by large eyes with jet-black pupils and smiled at the No-No crew. Britton felt his pulse quicken at the sight of her.
That's a queen of selfers right there. One of these days she's gonna bust out here and make those fuckers in the sock pay for what they've done to us. One of these days she's gonna set us free.
The woman rounded the corner of one of the Quonset huts and met his gaze evenly, the smile never faltering.
Oscar Britton, you're even prettier in the sunlight.
Ma'am?
Oh, there's no need for that. You can call me Scylla.
That's not your real name.
I'm beyond names. So are you. That's why they're terrified of us.
Shut up and keep moving, ma'am.
See? Can you hear the terror in the human's voice? This little gulag is all to buy them a little more time before they're forced to face reality.
What reality is that?
The guard inched forward as if to touch her, appeared to think better of it, and looked askance at his partner, who likewise refused to move.
The reality we all see around us but refuse to acknowledge. That we are a new race, better adapted to our environment than the old. The humans can imprison us for a time, but sooner or later, we will rule them as surely as they rule dogs and cows.
That's crazy.
That's the way it is. You know it as surely as I do. Think on it, Oscar Britton. You possess the ability to move between the fabric of dimensions under your own power, and yet you are hounded and ruled by those who cannot even fly through the air without the aid of a machine. How does that make sense? Welcome to the new apartheid, Oscar Britton. It will fare no better than the old one.
Get moving!
Sergeant Pirelli. 3 good conduct medals. Recently treated for gallstones. Your boards are coming in a month, and while your dog tags mark you as a Christian, you don't really believe it.
It can't be magic. I've got her suppressed.
Do you know why I was put in the hole?
Everybody knows.
It might not earn your respect, but it should at least earn your fear. So, don't ever push me.
Both guards took a step back, mouths open. Pirelli jerked his weapon at her.
Let's go. You get an hour of exercise. Use it or lose it.
See? Terrified. Never forget that, Oscar. These people may limit your movements for now, but deep down, you own them.
Britton made his way to the knot of SAS enrollees entering the schoolhouse.
What was that all about?
I'm not really sure. You weren't kidding about her being creepy, though. How'd she wind up in the hole in the first place? She said everybody knows.
She got one of her suppressors to drop her for a moment. That was all it took. By the time she was done, she'd unleashed hell.
Hell?
20, maybe 30 dead.
How? She's some kind of super pyromancer?
Scylla's a witch. Negromancy. It's supposedly nasty, nasty stuff. Black magic and all that.
But how does it work? Does she turn people into toads?
It's nasty.
How'd she get the suppressor to drop her? She whack him over the head?
She... you know.
Oh.
Scylla wasn't an unattractive woman, for all her wicked charisma. She'd used the only tool she'd had to hand.
How's it going, Wave Sign?
Britton extended his hand.
Don't do that. I'll just get you wet.
I don't mind if you do.
Britton shook his hand. His grip was slippery, like trying to run kelp through one's palms. Britton suppressed an instinct to grimace. Inside the schoolhouse, Salamander queued up another video, this one showing aromancers working weather control for the Coast Guard, rescuing shipwrecked fishermen. Swift sidled over to Britton.
Sorry about yesterday. Let's start over.
Wow. Scylla really put the fear in you, didn't she?
It's not that.
Then what is it, Swift? Cut to the damn chase. I'm no fool. I don't believe you suddenly want to be friends.
It's the gate magic. You're a portomancer.
What about it?
You can get us out of here. Why haven't you escaped already?
Maybe I don't want to escape.
Swift looked amazed and horrified.
Anyway, it won't work. They tagged me with some kind of tracking device that can detonate. I run, I die.
There has to be a way to get it out.
There is a way. But can I ask her? Will she rat me out?
For all his talk, Britton found Salamander surprisingly lenient, at times like a kindly old father, even giving them the day off control practice to play pickup football in the SAS yard. Britton sat with Therese and watched Swift weave through the other enrollees, the ball tucked under his arm.
The guy's got talent.
He does. Pyre says he was a receiver in high school, but he cheats a lot, too.
Cheats?
Watch.
A squat woman with broad shoulders and short hair, whom Britton recognized from the No-No crew, raced to intercept Swift.
That's Peapod. She never told me her real name. Women's rugby star at U of New Hampshire.
Peapod ducked her head and angled toward him, lowering her shoulders and pushing from her thighs. She moved directly across Swift's path. There was no way Britton could see for him to avoid her.
Oh, man, this is gonna hurt.
Swift grinned, stuck out an arm. His fingertips lightly brushed Peapod's forehead as he vaulted over her, corkscrewing through the air and landing behind her, not missing a step.
He's an aromancer. Isn't he gonna get in trouble?
I told you, Salamander's a good guy. He lets it slide when it's harmless like this. I personally think he likes it.
Because it demonstrates control.
Yeah, and I think it does his heart good to see people playing with magic. It can get kind of serious in the sock, you know?
Do I ever. I think that's what bugs me the most about magic.
What?
You know, when you're a kid, you read stories about it, and you're told that magic is this wild, kick-ass, amazing thing. It's unicorns and flying carpets and adventure. But then when you actually come face-to-face with magic, and it...
It's deadly.
More than that. It's boring. It's hyper-regulated and bound up in red tape. It's every bit as controlled and locked down as a missile arsenal. There's nothing adventurous about it. Or at least not the kind of adventure anyone would want to have.
Britton shook his head, beyond weary. That's when he noticed Wave Sign sitting a few feet away.
Come on, what's wrong with you? You never played football?
Pretty decent hands, actually. But I was too small to block.
So? Get in there. I can't understand why you extricate yourself from everything.
Come on, Wave Sign! You think those guys are a bad influence anyway?
Only sometimes. And what are they going to do now? Influence you to be better at football? Besides, Tsunami's not one of the Jackass crew.
You don't get it.
Maybe you don't get it. You had decent hands. That doesn't change.
Wavesign held up his hands, so slick with moisture that they looked greasy.
I don't know if you noticed, but they're not exactly sticky fingers anymore.
Kinda makes you tough to tackle, though, doesn't it?
Now it was Wavesign's turn to pause. After a moment, he shrugged and joined the game. Swift made a face, but after a failed pass to Pyre, he handed the ball off to Wavesign, who ran hard for the end zone, showing surprising agility. Downer and Peapod both ran to block him with all the single-mindedness of runaway trains. Wavesign paused, ducked, then pushed left. Downer threw herself at him and fell short, giving Peapod the chance to make the tackle as Wavesign backpedaled. The Hydromancer spun as Peapod tried to grapple him, her arms sliding on the greasy seaweed surface of his skin. She slid in the dirt again, and Wavesign hurtled toward the improvised end zone.
Woo! Yeah!
Not fair, you slippery fuck!
What do you want? I've got control issues!
Britton smirked. It was good to see Wavesign make light of his issues for even a brief moment. Pyre jogged over to Britton and Therese.
Oh, come on, big man! Might as well get out here and give us a chance to pound on
you. You sure you want to take that on? It's your funeral.
Unless you think you can do a better job. Well, now that I think about it, Therese might be a better linebacker than you.
You call me fat?
Oh, heck no. Just calling you tougher than Mr. Candy Pants here.
Britton stared through the line of chain link that separated them from the source beyond the fob. Two small black dots had surfaced in the waving tops of the sawtoothed grasses and were moving quickly.
Goblin spotters. They're always out there watching the fob.
F.O.s.
The burst had originated from the guard towers. One of the small black dots disappeared.
F.O.s.
Sorry, I keep thinking everybody is in the army here. Forward observers. They call in fire, you know, for artillery.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, we call them spotters. They sight in for the magical attacks.
Looks like they got them both.
There'll be more. There always are. So? Coming?
I should get in there. I can be anywhere on the field that I want.
Not you.
But...
I didn't stutter, did I? I'm sorry, novice. You want to get out there, fine, but no magic.
That's bullshit.
No, it's common sense, something you apparently lack. If Swift is momentarily indiscreet, then maybe there's an unfair touchdown. If you leave the fob in an effort to get around a blocker, then I've got a huge mess on my hands and the sock is down one portamancer. They're not fucking around about the ATTD, Oscar. Don't you risk it. Not ever.
I guess that's an order.
Not an order, just friendly advice. Of course, it just so happens if you elect not to follow it, you die.
Fine. No magic, I get it. But you can't stop me from playing.
I can do whatever the hell I want with you. But so long as you don't use magic, I wouldn't dream of interfering with you getting embarrassed out on the field.
So, Candy Pants, huh?
We'll see.
Oh, I do believe you will.
The Quran is very clear on this. It says, and they followed what the devils gave out falsely of magic of the reign of Solomon. For Solomon did not disbelieve, but the devils disbelieved, teaching men magic and such things that came down at Babylon. There is no argument among any of the schools on this matter. For once, all from Maliki to Hanafi are united. Even the Shia forbid magic. All praises to Allah the Merciful, the Compassionate, who has shown us the jinn in our midst, that we may drive them out. Sheikh Abu Hassan al-Masri, interviewed for public television series Islam and the Great Reawakening.
Mornings at the SAS were followed by afternoon MAC practice, one-on-one, under the giant tent. Britton improved, slowly. At times, he managed to turn some of the blows, disengage the mount, or control the battle space for a moment,